Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening, boys and girls. My name is Joshua Bradley Winter, and welcome back to the Birding Life Youth Podcast. In today's episode, I speak to South Africa's new Young Wildlife Photographer of the Year. Let's see what Jamie Freeman has to say. Hello, Jamie. It's nice to hear from you again. It's been quite a while. How have you been doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, it's been all right. I just came out of a physics test now. Who knows why we have to do physics tests in veterinary, but anyways, I just have to suck it up. So you recently won a photography award. You won a very significant photography award. You are the new Youth Photographer of the Year in South Africa.
Tell
us a bit about it.
I won the Young South African Photographer of the Year for 2023. My image that won, it's called Dwarf on a Giant. It's of a species of cricket on an elephant tusk. And yeah, it's one of my favorite images. I just think it really nicely contrasts the big and the small, and how they live together in harmony.
You sum it up quite well. I think what's really good about it is that they're both quite common animals, depending on where you are. But it's the story that those common animals are able to tell within the picture that makes it so great. And how did you go about taking that photo? Like, what happened on the day? What was the situation and everything?
In 2022, I got the opportunity to go to Sabi Sands. We stayed at Ululapa with friends for a weekend. And anyway, on the last day of the trip, we were driving out the park. And most of the time, after a few days in the bush, you don't really stop for elephants anymore. But because we were about to leave the park, we decided to stop for this elephant because we likely weren't going to see another one for quite a while. Anyway, so we stop at this elephant on the side of the road and we're watching him for a bit. And I notice a cricket jumps out of the bush and lands on his tusk. So I took the photo. Like I said, I thought it's a great way to contrast the largest land mammal on earth, land animal on earth, to just a tiny cricket, and how they each in their own completely different world, but in the same world at the same time, if that makes sense. I took the image. Anyway, we left the park, and on the way back to Johannesburg, for some reason in my mind I thought that I'd exported all my photos from the last day onto my hard drive. So I formatted my card, and to my surprise, I realized that I hadn't exported the photos. So I lost all my photos from the last day of the trip. I took about...
Oh, my word.
I took over 1,000 photos on that last day, and I lost all of them.
Yeah.
So I ended up reaching out on YWP, and someone, can't remember who, but they suggested some software to use to recover lost photos. And I did manage to recover 3 photos that I lost. Obviously, didn't get to choose which 3, but 3, I recovered 3 out of the over 1,000 photos that I lost. And luckily, one of those 3 was the image that I took of the cricket on the elephant tusk. So, very lucky that
I'm... Yeah, that's crazy.
I only got 3 out of 1,000 back. So, I'm lucky that I got that one.
Got that one, yeah. I've had a similar situation before. I went to Makuzi in KZN, and I think I had been in the Waterberg. And then I came back, and I had to film something on my camera for school. Yeah. And I filmed it, and I put it in my laptop, and then the SD card had corrupted. So obviously not as severe as yours, but I had lost everything on that card. But then somehow my dad, he works in IT, he downloaded some program, and then like after a couple of hours. I had all the photos back,
Oh,
but
that's
none of
nice.
the videos. Yeah, so it sort of worked out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
Something we need to be careful with.
what yeah. And yeah, I think these camera companies need to put in a better system, because when you press format card, it's just like, okay, we're gonna do it now. There's no like any warning. Are you sure you want to format your card? Well, at least on my camera.
I think my camera does ask if I'm sure. So I think I might be the
Okay.
problem. I can't really blame the camera.
Yeah, on my one, it's definitely, you just press format and it does it. So I've got to be really careful when I'm
That can
scrolling
be
around
dangerous.
settings. Yeah. And what was the whole awards ceremony like?
So
Obviously, I think it was in Cape
on
Town.
the fourth, the ceremony was on the 4th in Cape Town. The problem was I was writing an English exam on that same day. So I had to contact my school to move my exam an hour earlier. Well, to let me write an hour earlier in order to make the flight to Cape Town. So straight off after my exam, we went to the airport, flew to Cape Town, and then immediately went to the ceremony. So it was quite a busy day. But yeah, the ceremony was great. Some incredible photographers there. I managed to meet some great people. Yeah, then after the ceremony, we went stayed at some friends, and then the following day, not the next day, but the day after that, we flew back to Joburg. Yeah, so quite a
Okay, so it was quite a quick thing.
yeah quite a quick thing, because obviously I was in the middle of exams, so I needed to study, and it's difficult studying in Cape Town with all the things to do, but I somehow managed.
Okay. And what was like your award or your awards that they gave you?
I guess the main prize was a Canon R7 and the Canon RF
Oh, okay.
100 millimeter lens, which I'm extremely excited about and grateful for. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm
I
speaking to
mean,
you.
I would love to have an R7.
I'm still lost for words. I'm hoping to use it for the first time this weekend. I'm going to Pilanesberg for a day. So I'm in Hartbeespoort currently, so it's quite close.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm hoping to
Yes,
check
yeah,
it out.
it's not too far.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you hope to see in the Pilanesberg?
I don't usually see much in the Pilanesberg. I'm quite unlucky there. I've been there upwards of 50 times because we stay so close, and I've seen one leopard. That's the only,
What?
obviously the smaller game and the general game, but I've seen one leopard, no lion, no nothing else.
Oh,
So
sure, okay. Because I was there on the 1st of April.
yeah.
We didn't see the leopard, but we heard him. He was like 20 meters away from us in a drain line that was like covered with, in a
Okay.
thicket along a drain line. And it was like really annoying. Like you could hear him, but you couldn't see him. And then, yeah, I've always seen, whenever I go to Plainsburg, I see leopard. Last year I went once just for the day. I saw a leopard. 2 years before that, I went once. I saw three leopards. And we
That's
saw five cheetah on that day as
the same
well.
thing everyone else tells me, but for
Yeah,
some reason I can't relate.
but when it comes to birds in the Pilanesberg, like I get a like average around 80 to 100, but it's not anything too special.
Yeah, it's
Just your typical
general.
bushveld birds. Yeah, although last time on the 1st of April when we went, I saw Curricane button quail, or what's it called now? I think it's common button quail,
I'm
which
button
is
quail.
something I had never seen before. But
Yeah, it's
yeah, so
funny
that was
enough,
quite nice.
that's a bit of a bogey bird for me. It's obviously the most common out of the three species of button quail we get in South Africa. But I have both black-rumped and famous button quail, and I'm still yet to see common.
Oh my word. Oh my word. It's another one of your famed bogey birds that,
Yeah.
yeah, Jamie's got this thing where he's got a lot of bogey birds, but they're all like, they're not common, but you see them fairly frequently. But he just hasn't. Like, you one of them was your Makoa duck, but you
Yeah,
eventually
I've
saw
one
that, didn't you?
for rose eagle owl I've never seen.
Oh, okay.
Lavalence
Yeah,
cuckoo.
I've never seen Jacobin. Is it Jacobin?
I haven't
Cuckoo.
seen Jackman either.
Yeah, like I'm pretty sure it flew over me one time, but I wasn't like 100% sure, so I didn't put it down. But yeah, that's a bogey bird for me. Yeah, that's.
I've heard them in the distance, but no, I've got visuals.
Yeah, and Varroa's eagle owl, I've seen them before, but yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah,
Yeah,
they're
they're
supposed to be
not.
common in Kruger, but
Yeah,
not for me.
that's where I saw mine. Yeah, another one of mine is barred owlet. I haven't seen them at Letaba, even though I think they're resident there. I've heard them near Hoedspruit, on a place near Hoedspruit, but we couldn't find them. So yeah, I'll eventually get them one day, but
Yeah,
I'll just have to wait for
I've quite
now.
a cool ex I've had quite a cool experience with them. We stayed at a place in Nyala Lodge in Balula, and there was a resident pair there, so I spent hours with them.
Okay.
Yeah, so I got some really cool shots.
Okay, yeah, that is really cool. Because
Yeah.
I'm assuming you were able to see them in the day as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, like whenever I see pearl spots in the day, yo, it's so nice to be able to take a decent photo of the owl.
Yeah.
Like, you can take a decent photo at night, it's just a lot more tricky.
Yeah,
And
definitely.
I don't know, I don't like shining the torch on the owl for too long. So,
Yeah.
yeah,
It's hardly
yeah.
active.
And, yeah. And how did you start birding? How did you get into it?
So, I think about 4 years ago, I've always loved the bush. I've always loved nature. So about 4 years ago, we were with friends in Olifants West Game Reserve, and we were on a drive, and just by chance, we came across a pearls fishing owl along the Olifants River. We didn't think too much of it because we didn't know it's a like how rare the species was. So we stopped for about 5 minutes, looked at it, and then we carried on, which is something I regret to this day that we didn't stay longer. But anyway, after the drive, I found an old bird book, and I was flipping through it to find the pearls. And then, just by paging through this bird book, I saw all our incredible species that we have, and yeah, I was hooked. And I've been birding since.
Okay, sure. So, on your life list, do you have like pulse fishing now as your first bird then?
Yeah, it was my first bird that I added to my list, which is, I don't think there's anyone else that can say that.
Yeah, that's quite cool. My one friend, he doesn't do birding at all, but I took him to go see the Lesser Jacana last year in Bupsfontein.
Oh, yeah.
And so if he ever got into birding properly, he can put Lesser Jacana on as his first
Yeah.
bird, because it was, I think, the first thing we saw there on that morning. Yeah, it's crazy some of the first birds people have.
Yeah.
Yeah, like mine is just a Cape Sparrow, I think, if I go right to the bottom. Yeah, so nothing too exciting, unfortunately. Even like my first 100 species, nothing exciting. Yeah. How many species are you on now? Because I know you were close to 500. Have you passed 500?
Yeah, I'm on. I can tell you right now. I'm on 536.
Oh, sure. So you're quite far over the 500 and the 500 mark. Oh, what was your 500th bird?
Let me see if I have it down somewhere, but I don't think I do. Oh,
Okay.
I'll tell you what it was. It was Northern Black Koran. I remember now. Which is
Oh, is this one of
was
your
another
other
one of
bogey birds?
my birds.
I remember someone was telling me that you went to Rietvlei to go find them and you almost didn't see them.
I only saw it on the way out because we had just come back from a Kruger trip and I ended on 4.99, and that's just not right. So I convinced my dad to take me to Rietvlei to get what I've heard was almost guaranteed there. But after spending a few hours there, I was starting to doubt that it was almost guaranteed. But luckily, on the way out, we saw one.
Yeah,
And then after that,
because
since then, I've seen hundreds because that's how it works.
okay, yeah, good. Because at Rietvlei, whenever I'm there, it's like the only bird I know that I will see. But they're always at, you got to go over Otter Bridge and then turn left, and then I think you go right, and in that loop, I always see them there, and like normally like four or five of them.
I'm not very familiar with Rietvlei, but yeah, luckily we.
Yeah, sure. Because that's. So that was your 500th bird. That's crazy. Because that was my 250th bird.
Wow.
I remember that. Well, anyways, what are some of the fa your favorite places to go birding in the country? Or I don't know. I don't know if you've been overseas. Have you?
No, I haven't birded overseas.
No.
My favorite two places are Machubers Kloof and then Sarnie Pass. Not necessarily only because of the birds, but the actual location of both these places. I don't think there's you get more be you get a more beautiful place in Southern Africa than those two places, especially Sarnie Pass. If you haven't been, I couldn't recommend it enough.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been to Sarnie Pass, and I've always wanted to go. It's just, I don't know. I've always been fully booked, I suppose. I've been to Machuba's before, and Machuba's I struggled with the birding a bit on my first day because I had never done any forest birding before, and the
It's
constant looking up into the canopy was, oh, it was
that's
a
so
learning
dark in those
experience.
forests. It's so dark. Photography is almost impossible.
You can't see anything. But every now and again you get a good sighting. I mean, with me, like I had read about all the specials and that, but because it was my first time going to Machuba's Kloof, I didn't expect to see any because when you don't know how to do forest birding and when you've never been to a place before, you're not always
Everything.
100% sure. But then we pulled over on the side of the road and I got out the car and I think I was looking at some olive woodpeckers and then I look above me and there's just this black-fronted bushrike just sitting there. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's yeah that that's one of the rarities in this area.
That's probably the special for the area.
I mean, I think Machuba's Kloof's the only forest in South Africa you can see them. I've heard about them in Lekgalemetsi, but and there's that the by Blader there. There's that one.
What are you talking about?
I can't remember the name, but I've heard of them there. But Machuba's Kloof, they're f frequently seen.
I also saw my latest trip there, which was really, really cool.
And Sarnie Pass, why? What do you love so much about Sarnie Pass?
Well, I think the birding's obviously incredible, but just the landscape and the beauty of the area. You don't feel like you're in South Africa. You feel like you're somewhere in the Alps. Not, I haven't been there, but from the photos I've seen, that's what it feels like. When you're at the top of the pass there, just looking over, it's just incredible. And then obviously all the bird species and the high number of endemic species that you get there as well is also amazing.
And I've heard that you have to go over the Lesotho border to in order to get to a high enough altitude to see some of the birds. Is that true?
So the South African borders towards the bottom of the pass, and the Lesotho borders at the top of the pass. So, in between, between the those two borders. That's where the majority of the pass lies. But technically, you're not in South Africa or Lesotho because you pass the SA border, but you haven't entered the Lesotho border. So, but yeah,
Okay.
that area near the Lesotho border is where you start seeing the rock jumpers and the siskins.
Okay. 'Cause yeah, it's crazy. That
Yeah, but
they don't go below a certain altitude.
they're very specific. Like
Yeah.
they don't they they've as far as I know, they've never been. I can't remember the exact altitude, but Sony Pass, I think it gets over 3,000. I might be wrong, but 3,500 meters above sea level. So it's really, really,
Sure, okay.
it's really a high altitude. If you, we did a few hikes up in Lesotho, and you can feel the thin air. It's difficult to breathe up there. Obviously, it gets extremely cold in winter. I was speaking to people there, and they've recorded negative 22 degrees at the
Sure,
top.
okay.
Yeah.
That's terrible. I would never want to be that cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
Do you know
not
if
just
yeah?
cloud. Yeah.
Yeah. And do you know if Cape Rock Jumper, you can see them quite low down, can't you? So
Yeah,
they're
I've
not the
seen them.
same as Drakensberg then.
No, I've seen them because obviously they found quite close to sea level because
Yes, yeah.
they're up towards the coast. So I've seen them maybe 100 meters above sea level. They're at Royals, maybe a bit higher.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They were right. They
Yeah.
were right down on the road. So yeah.
Okay, sure. 'Cause yeah, it's interesting that
Yeah, it is strange.
the one species is found so high up and the other one's much lower down. But
Yeah.
yeah. And speaking of Cape Town and the ocean, are you gonna go on Flock?
I'm hoping to go. I'm hoping to go, but there's the we're trying to organize a group of us to share a cabin to reduce the costs, and we're struggling with that a bit, but I am hoping to go. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so you're trying to find someone then?
Yeah, we're looking for someone to share the cabin with.
Yeah. Oh, I was supposed to, for those listening, I was supposed to share with Jamie, but I had to pull out. So I feel quite bad, but I couldn't
No.
change the situation. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
I'm sure we'll find someone.
Yeah, so hopefully, if there's anyone listening and they need to and they want to go on Flock, maybe send Jamie a message on Instagram or something. I'm sure he'll be
Please.
willing to take you into
Yeah.
his cabin. Yeah. What are you hoping to see on Flock?
Well, I've never been on a pelagic force before, so everything will be a new experience for me. So whatever I see, I'll be happy with. But in particular,
Okay,
I think a wandering albatross is at the top of everyone's list.
okay. Yeah, I'm sure it is. Yeah, that would be a
Yeah.
really cool bird to see. But yeah, I've also never been on any pelagic trips, and I've been to Cape Town, and my one pelagic bird. Well, I don't know. Do you consider Cape Gannet to be pelagic birds? Yeah.
I'm not sure, honestly. I'm not sure what
Yeah. I don't know.
specifically refers to.
Yeah,
I'm
but
not sure. Yeah.
I had been told if I want to see Cape Gannet, I must go to what's it, nature reserve, Cape Point. So I went to
Yeah.
Cape Point. I stood around there for like 3 hours looking. I thought they would be all over the rocks. I
Yeah,
didn't see one.
that's what it seems
So
like, but no, I've only seen them once, far, far, far out.
okay. Sure, yeah. So I was quite disappointed with that, but I'm sure I'll see them one day.
Yeah.
That's my bogey bird. And an African black oyster catcher. I was told there was a resident pair at
Did you not see?
Boulders Beach. No, I was told there was a resident pet, Bloberg. I spent so much time at Bloberg. I didn't see one, so I was a bit disappointed with that.
If you
I
walk,
have, yeah.
yeah, if you walk along the Cape Town Promenade at low tide, you can see upwards of 100 birds, individuals.
What?
Some
Really?
of them,
Sure,
they
okay.
at low tide because they all come to roost there, literally along the promenade, in Cape Town, the main promenade. They're everywhere there.
Okay.
You can't miss them.
Sure, I'll have to do that next time I'm there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have seen them before, but it was at, do you know Umgeni River mouth in Durban?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, so we were on a, I was on a school swimming tour and we drove over and I could see them there, but like I only saw them for a couple seconds, so I didn't count it because
Okay.
I don't know, it didn't feel like right.
Yeah. Well, they're quite a
Yeah.
common species. I'm sure next time you're in Cape Town or somewhere on the coast,
Yeah, make my way to the
you'll
ocean.
get them.
Yeah, hopefully. But on that note, thanks for coming on the podcast, Jamie.
Cool.
Yeah,
Pleasure.
you were
Thanks.
great and congrats on your new title.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.